What's up, y'all? It's your boy Vibes Vibre, because I'm always bringing you the good vibes, and you're tuned in to and 5678 the podcast, where we talk about everything dance industry related beyond the steps. 5678.
You're tuned into and 5678 the podcast with Vibes Vibre. Only on YouTube. Broadcasted by Riverside.fm.
On today's episode, we have the talented dancer, teacher, and choreographer, Ryan Flo Miller. Thanks for joining us today, Ryan. I'm glad you were able to make the time to sit down and talk with me today.
Of course, glad I could be here.
So can you go ahead and start by just giving us a brief introduction of who Ryan is?
Well, hi, I'm Ryan. Ryan Miller, born in Brooklyn, New York. I started dancing my first freshman year of college, and I don't know, the rest is history. Like, I went to school for one thing, and I said, I'm a dance, and ever since then, it's just been all that I wanted to do. But here we are.
Okay, so what made you get into dancing?
Funny enough, I went to school for computer science and technology, and I used to run track in high school. And I was going to end up like continuing on the track and all that other stuff. And they ended up like cutting the indoor sprinter team. And I was a sprinter. And they're like, oh, all we have is cross country. And I was like, I'm not about to be in these woods with nobody. So no. And my friend was just like, you know, why don't you dance? And I was like, dance? Like, to be clear, I did not dance at all. Like, okay. I was not going to school dances. I was not going to parties on the block. Like, the social ones here and there, but I really didn't start going to parties until like college. So my friend was just like, you know, try out for the team. And like, I was not with it at all. And he like tricked me into auditioning for the school dance team. And I ended up just making it. And by the end of that year, someone from the team had introduced me to Luam, and her classes were like literally right in New York. So I was like, oh, I have to start taking her class. And I took one class and just knew. I was like, mom, we wasted money in college. This is what I want to do. And that was that.
So you basically shocked yourself with your own talent, in a sense.
I didn't even know I could dance. I swore I had two left feet. I was just really shy as a kid. Like, everybody who knows me now, like, Ryan, shy, how? But when I was a kid, I was really, really, really shy. So I never wanted to be in a space where, like, I was the center of any kind of attention or, like, performing for people. I was like, that's not me. I was the kid, like, during the school projects, we had to read, like, what we were doing. My hands would be shaking. I'd be like, so this upper part was about, it was that energy for me. But gotcha. I think after taking that one class at BBC, it really like changed what I thought I wanted to do.
Okay, that's dope. That's cool. So you currently live in LA, right?
Yeah, 2 years strong.
Okay, what made you make that transition from New York to LA?
I laugh like this because anybody who knows me knows I was like, I'm never moving to LA, ever, ever, ever. And I was like, all right, let me try for a month. And I went February of 2022. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was like, I got a sublet for like a month. I was going to just dance, try to teach, all those things. And I remember I was closing my suitcase to leave the next day. And my agent called me and she was like, hey, Rhapsody wants you to do All American. Would you stay for that? So, of course, I called the people I was staying with. I was like, hey, can I stay for like 2 more weeks? And they're like, yeah, sure. So I did that episode. And then I tried to leave again. And it happened again. She's like, hey, we're having you come back for another episode. And I was like, okay, I can stay a little bit longer. Okay. Stay for 2 more weeks. So that was 2 months. Then I went back to New York for like 2 weeks. And I was like, let me go back. Because I was doing, I got asked to do Jaquel's H&M campaign that he was doing.
Okay.
I didn't know it was him at the time. They just asked somebody to be his body double. He was like listed as Atlanta for the choreographer. No one knew who was doing it until he walked in. And then I was like, well, Ryan, you keep getting these jobs every time you try to leave. Maybe it's a sign to like stay longer. So I ended up staying through the summer. And by that point, I was like, just get a place. So then I just ended up moving. It wasn't planned at all. I kept telling everybody I was coming back to New York. It never happened, but I have no regrets. So it's all good.
That's good. How did you adapt to living in LA versus living in New York?
It's a lot slower. So like, easy example, everything in LA kind of starts at like 1, maybe like 2, whereas in New York, you're up and you're going. But a lot of my friends that I grew up with, Tia Rivera, a lot of Kai Martinez, a lot of those people that I grew up with lived in LA and had been there for like a decade at this point. So it was an easier transition. A lot of my closer friends, even like Zai and Stanley, Layla, a lot of people that I was really, really close to had already moved there. So I already had like my like intimate circle there already. So it made it a lot easier. It wasn't like, oh, let me be the new kid on the block and learn all these new people. Jared Jenkins, like all these people had already been there. So it was easier for me.
Okay. Do you think that you were prepared for that move or did it kind of just like happen?
Not even a little bit. I mean, mentally and physically and talent wise, I was more prepared than I think we all have this misconception of LA as being just like, this is where all the elite are. So like, if I'm a go, like, I got to make sure that I'm in like the top 10 percentile of dancers that can just, you know, be there and book all the jobs. And that's really not what it's about. Like you have to go when you're, I feel personally, you have to go when you realize that the community that you're in, you either outgrown or it's just giving you all that it has to offer. And that's nobody's fault. It's not shading of the community or you. It's just, you have to understand when you are now the big fish in the pond and go into a bigger pond with bigger fish. So that's really what it was for me.
Okay. So did you teach in New York as well?
Oh yeah. I started teaching in New York. Let's see. I think we're coming up on 10 or 11 years now, maybe 2013 I started teaching. And I started really, really low key. Anybody will tell you in New York, I had a free class in New York for like 2 or 3 years. It was at Ripley Greer every Monday, 8 to 10, I would teach a free class. And my friends would be like, no, you should start charging. I only went up to like $5 for the next 2 years. And it wasn't until I was like 5 years under my belt, like I really wanted to work on not my movement, not feeling like it was just a carbon copy of my mentors, and making sure that my lessons also weren't just a carbon copy of what my mentors taught me and that I had my own voice and my own things to teach. So I really focused on that first. And here we are 10 years later, still doing it.
Okay. So what inspires you and motivates you when it comes to teaching? What keeps you going?
I think I have a passion for just cultivating new talent and really it started from telling people the things that I wasn't told that I had to figure out in the industry and feeling like if I knew this sooner, I would have been better equipped to handle a lot of the things that I had to handle. So I think a lot of my teaching stems from that place first and foremost. And then as far as like movement wise, as long as it's like something that moves me first from the inside out, I'll always be able to move to it.
And I'm glad you answered the question. No, it did answer. I'm glad you said that because that's literally one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast. I have all different kind of dancers from industry professionals to people that's trying to make it. And so just to hear different stories is important because everybody might not have the access to gain the knowledge or certain tools. And so I wanted to create this so that this is your outlet to be able to hear some of the things that you may not hear on a regular basis.
All right. And I actually love that you did that because people need that more than they know.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the jobs that you've booked since becoming a professional dancer?
Okay, hold on. okay, I've done VMAs, Rihanna's Vanguard VMAs. I've done Travis Scott right after. I choreographed I was assistant choreographer for Lizzo's VMA performance.
Okay.
I've work with brands. I assist Luam, so a lot of the things that Luam does, I end up assisting her on. So we've done brands for different people. We've done Cher. I've done Alicia Keys World Tour, South American Tour. I also assist Rhapsody from here to there. So just a lot of different artist stuff. The movie that I'm currently on is the first movie I've done, so that's a new experience, and that's been really, really fun. But yeah, a lot of brands, a lot of artist work, a lot of artist development, things like that.
Okay, you definitely have like a long list under your belt. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
And so what's next for you? Because you've done a lot. So do you have like a end all, like a big goal that you want to accomplish as a dancer?
Yeah, I mean, as a dancer, there are still like things I wanted to do more of. Like I can say this past couple of years was my first time doing like award shows. I did Latin Billboards, I did the VMAs with Shakira, but prior to that, it's kind of interesting. My career was not backwards because I feel like there's no right or wrong way to do things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're always taught that you're going to be a dancer first And then you'll assist slash teach around the same time, and then you'll be a choreographer in your own right. And then if you keep that path going, you'll become a creative director, so on and so forth. For me, I started assisting before I started dancing, so I had a lot of assistant credits before I was on these like jobs as a dancer. So like these past couple of years, I've chosen to focus on like what I want to call like my dancer bucket list. Not that I'm stopping anytime soon, but it was just like there are things that I wanted to accomplish. And I know for me, it was doing more award shows. And I said at the beginning of the year, like I want to do a movie. I had no idea that this was even in the works, and here we are. But I think the next thing for me, I think I spent a lot of my years kind of supporting someone else's vision and been super grateful for that. But I think moving into the next couple of years, I definitely want to separate, not even separate, I just want to start my main girl, like main character energy, where it's like, no, I'm not supporting somebody else's vision. This is my vision behind an artist and behind a project. And working towards that has been the main goal for this year.
Okay, that's cool. That I'm kind of in that same space. Mine was like the normal way, I guess, as we know. I started off as a dancer, and recently, within like the last maybe year or so, I, in a sense, fell out of love with dancing itself, but fell in love with creating and choreographing. And it just made me happier. It put me in a place where it was just like, I started feeling like dance was a chore, and I didn't want to feel that about dance because I love to dance. So I took a step back to figure out, okay, what is it that you want to do with Dance Break? And I started going to different training programs, mentorships, and I was in the room in Atlanta with Kiki. And that program is what made me realize that I wanted to be a choreographer for sure. And I just focused on that. I started doing that more often, putting my work out more, going about my work differently. Because at first, I was just letting, in a sense, anybody work with me because I wanted to give people a chance. Because I feel like everybody doesn't get a chance, and I wanted to be the person to give people a chance. But then I had to realize I need to take my work a little more seriously. And it's no shade or anything against anybody, but if you want to present yourself in a certain light, then you have to put your best foot forward.
You kind of have to separate, and it's I love that you said that, because it's that's a learning curve that no one really teaches you. You kind of experience it through like allowing people in your creative space and realizing that they're not ready for that type of environment yet. So I love that you are continuing to do that. Don't stop.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. So, out of all the gigs that you've done so far, which one would be like your favorite that you've done? I know that might be a little hard.
I can give you like two.
Okay, that's cool.
I can't bring it down to one. So during the pandemic, Ludacris came out with a children's like cartoon called Karma's World, and Luan was the choreographer for that. And I don't know, I was a big gamer, and my PlayStation's right over there. But like for me, like I always wanted to do, wear the mocap suit with all the white balls on it and do like animation and movement. And we didn't get to do that exactly because of COVID, so we couldn't go into the studios. But a lot of the, not even a lot of, all of the episodes that you see, because it's, I think it has 4 seasons on Netflix now. A lot of the characters I got to play and like not like do the voiceovers, but do the dancing, because she dances in like every episode. So a lot of the dance breaks that Luan choreographed, I either assisted her on or I was one of the characters in the actual episode. So that was really, really cool for me. Like, my goddaughter watches the show. She loves the show. So that was also really dope to do something that affected somebody so close to me, like I was right up under me. And I guess another job that I loved, 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 loved. That's hard. I'll go with All American. I think All American was just, it was really, really fun because it's really, really black. Let's just start there. And I got to do All American Homecoming, which when I went to college, because I left so early, like after my freshman year, I was like, all right, we're done here. But I didn't get to like join the fraternity like I wanted to. And on the show, we get to play the brothers of KEK. So
Gotcha.
that's always really fun. So I got to live my frat life. And I think every time we go, like Rhapsody really puts her whole, like, she puts her whole everything into every episode. So it's really special to be a part of a culture and an experience that I felt like I missed out on, one. And two, I feel like it's so important to the Black community and to have it be led by a Black woman. So I think all of that is just, it always just feels really, really good to be surrounded by your people and your culture.
Awesome. So when you did that show, you got to meet Jeffrey Maia?
Now, the thing is, we didn't really get to meet a lot of them. I think the best episode that I think so far for me was the season finale of Homecoming episode one. You'll see like there's this big old speech and the brothers finally come out, and a lot of the actors are really, really sweet, but we didn't get to spend a lot of time with them.
Oh, got you. I asked that because I actually went to school, college with Jeffrey Maia. She's my big sister in my dance organization
Come
in college.
on.
Yeah. So shout out to House Arrest 2, Championship Dance Team Incorporated. But
Period.
yeah, so before we move into our segment, I do got to take a minute because I do get custom pieces and I want to shout out my sponsor. So
Oh,
today I
custom.
am today I am wearing these 5, 6, 7, 8 shorts.
Hey.
And you can find these on Kata Co shop. They have shorts, sweaters, hats, all different kinds of items on there. You can use my discount code, Braven, to get 10% off of your order of $25 or more. And you can also check her out on Instagram, Kata underscore shop. So now it's time for our segment, Ryan. So this is where the curtains close and the spotlights turn off. Let's get to the point. All right. So, Ryan, I have had the pleasure of meeting you on a recent project, and I got to experience your personality. And
It's a
I
great one.
noticed, yeah, it is. So, I noticed that whether you're in class, in rehearsal, on set, you are the same through and through all the time. So, what I wanted to talk to you about today is thriving as your authentic self in the dance industry.
Let's get it.
So, first I want to ask, how do you navigate challenges in the dance world while maintaining your authenticity?
I have really, really good friends. That is the best way to put it. Like, if you follow my Instagram, you'll see even my stories. I like to be as candid as I can be without, putting my business out there. But like, there are times where like jobs will be definitely frustrating, or like there will be different challenges that we all go through. We all fall out of love today with dance at some point, and we always think that that person that's going to get us back to one. So I think the most important thing, Luam actually taught me this: you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. So I try to surround myself with people who are not even of like mind, but like are open to, one, hearing me vent. Two, being able to give me like the most authentic truth. And three, people who are just genuinely good people. You know what I mean? I think as we move through the industry, you meet different choreographers, and it's very difficult, especially like going through to the different generations and dealing with like some of the OGs, some of the newer choreographers. Like they just have a different mindset. And as someone who's like been able to watch that timeline progress, it's interesting to say the least. And you have to really have a good strong sense of self and really like have good people around you. I think that's like the number one thing.
Okay. Can you share a personal experience where being your authentic self positively impacted a job or your career?
Absolutely. I think but an actual job, I mean, not even I think. I'll use the project that we're currently on. It's challenging when you have different things happening amongst the leadership. Like when it's not, and it's no one's fault. Like it's everyone has a job to do, and everyone has different things that they have to accomplish. And when they're not all on the same exact accord, it can create a stressful environment. And what I've learned is, because that happens on every job, music videos, award shows. Like the director of the award show wants one thing, the choreographer wants another thing,
Oh,
the artist
yeah.
wants another thing, the team wants another thing. Like, and for the dancers, it's hard because sometimes, like, not even sometimes, more often than not, that means things are changing every 5 seconds. And if you're not that dancer, then there's no shade to that. If you're not that dancer that's gonna pick it up very quickly, it can be very frustrating because now you're like, I have to readjust every 5 seconds. And that can domino effect into a bunch of different things. So I think for me, because if you, and I know you know now,
yeah,
I joke all the time.
I'm all the time.
I'm never not gonna joke. I'm never not going to have a smile on my face. I'm never not going to try to just lighten the space, because I feel like you can't be your best self when your brain is like in distress like that. Like, you need to be calm, positive, joking, and all the things. And there's a way to joke and still be productive. There's a way to joke and still get the job done. There's a way to have fun and still get the best show you get, or the best scene, or whatever you're doing, mm-hmm. get the best product that you're working towards. You know what I mean? So I think in this project that we're currently on together, I think that has been the energy that I try to go in with every day. Just like, you know what? No matter what's going on, like, I'm going to try and make sure my energy is at least something that someone else can look in the room for as like an anchor to their piece. Because when you don't have that, it's a different project, no matter what job you're on.
See, a lot of people get intimidated by the industry. So to have someone with the energy that you have, it's kind of like a breath of fresh air, because in a sense, sometimes, like, since the industry can be intimidating, when you have that, it kind of brings back that sense of unity and community, because it's lost a little bit, because a lot of people are trying to book or trying to be professional that they,
absolutely.
Yeah, it can get scary sometimes. So to be, because I have been able to experience your personality and your energy, that's literally like, it's just like, oh, everybody's not mean, you know, I can do this, you know, so I definitely appreciate you just for being you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I definitely think that as long as I can remember, like, that's just always been something that has been drilled into me. Like, mm-hmm. I think the one thing I do want to say, we always have to remember we're all dancing because we love to dance. Exactly. No matter how up the totem pole you go, when you started either in a studio, you started on the block, you started in your room dancing by yourself. Like, it all came from a place of joy. So I think the most important thing is to always hold on to that, no matter what place you're in, and also be able to disassociate yourself from other people's energy when it doesn't match that, when it is stressful, when it is mean, when it is nasty, and understand, like, everybody got their own skeletons, everybody got their own stuff they're going through. Don't take that on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just be you. Just be you and try to maintain your light and your positivity.
Okay, so what strategies do you use to overcome certain norms in the dance industry?
Norms like just like stigmas that we all have, and like,
yeah, yes, exactly.
You know, I talk to myself really, really nice. I mean, in the mirror, like, you are beautiful, you have
okay, have affirmations,
you need the affirmations, or else, like, yes. You gotta understand the industry that we're in is built to pick us apart. Like, we literally go somewhere, like, imagine this, sit here with me for a second. We go into a room in front of people that we've never met before, or have, maybe mm-hmm. maybe not, and we dance for them for like 4 8-counts, 8 8-counts, whatever may have you, and then we line up and they tell us whether or not we are good enough to be on the job, or
right.
if it's not even good enough, then it's if we look the part, if I'm light enough, if I'm pretty enough, if my arms are big enough, if my pecs are big enough, like, it's the industry that you're in is literally built to pick you apart, or pick and poke at you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not saying good things to yourself, like, you're not going to be able to survive those things or those moments, because it's going to happen. And it's sometimes like, it's not even the choreographer's fault. It's not that they are this, you know, superficial person. It's no, the client is asking for 3 chocolate guys, 1 Puerto Rican guy, 1 Asian guy, and 1 white guy. Which one do you fit in? And here you come mixed. Here you come mixed and ambiguous, and nobody knows what you are. So now you're just like, you know what I mean? So, like, I think the most important thing is be kind to yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind to yourself first. And you have to walk into most spaces, whether it's for work or you're trying to just dance for recreationally, you're just doing it for fun. When you walk into spaces, walk into them without asking for something. Remember that you're there to just do what you love. And if it resonates with them, it will. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But don't get caught up in all the other stuff.
Yeah. I just shared this with somebody recently that, like, if you go into your passion with like love and being humble, people are going to notice that before you even hit the steps. So that's like something to always remember. And I'll repeat that time and time again, because that's something that I had to teach myself too. Especially when I was pursuing the dance part of dance. I had to tell myself that just be humble, Braven. I went to a class not too long ago, actually. I went to Kira Harper's class. And she's a sweetheart, but she actually called me out to do a solo, and I was shocked because I just went in there dancing. It was a heels class. I don't dance in heels. I dance barefoot.
Me too.
So I went, and she called me out and was like, the technique is not there all the way, but the performance is there and the passion is there. So fuck it. I just want you to do you. That's what she told me. And so I did it. And I was like, okay. And that's important to me because, like I said, for the last couple of years, I've been telling myself that, because I used to be in my head a lot when it came to dancing. I used to be my biggest enemy. So when you go forth with passion, people, like I said, people are going to see that.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every single time. And you'll find that the dancers in our heads who are not even like as talented as other people will be on jobs all the time. And you'll be like, I don't understand. And then you'll watch them dance one time and you'll be like, oh, it's the passion. Mm-hmm. Like, it's literally pushing past any other 5, 6, 7, 8 that doesn't even matter. Like, you know?
So, yes, exactly. So can you share any tips for dancers who might be struggling to find their voice or find their authenticity while pursuing dance professionally?
Take time away from classes, away from auditions, away from mentorship programs. Like, all of those things are great and they will get you where you gotta go, but you have to take time away from that. First of all, before we even get into the dance aspect, the dance advice, live a life. And I mean like a full life. Do shit outside of dance. Go rock climbing, go read a book, go take a kayaking lesson. Like, do other shit. Like, while dance is your life and you love it, same here, it can't be 100% of your schedule. It can't be any and everything that you do every single day. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying to not be committed or dedicated. I'm saying a lot of time outside of it so you can still be a human. Because what you don't realize is the human connection is still the baseline of what you're trying to achieve in this space. The people who book are the ones that are able to have basic human-to-human connections on stage with everybody in the audience.
Exactly.
So if you're not living a life, you'll have nothing to offer. You'll have nothing to offer but a 5, 6, 7, 8. And unfortunately, that's not enough to get you the job. So let's just start there. And then when it comes to dance, step away from the traditional things that you're doing, the programs, the classes, the sessions, and remember to just dance with yourself. Remember that everything you have comes from you. Everything you are comes from you. Like, even when Kira was like, you know, Braven, go out, I want to see you do you. She didn't give you anything other than permission to be you.
Exactly.
I mean, so everything that you did in that class, you already have. But if you're not focusing on getting in touch with who that is outside of a classroom, outside of a mentorship program, you're never going to evolve to who you can be. You'll just be that dancer who's very clean and get hit a 5, 7, 8. You'll be what Rhapsody calls a filler dancer. And you never, but there's a place for filler dancers, but I feel like there's a space where you can have a cast full of stars, all individuals, all knowing who they are, all really being themselves on stage or on camera, whatever that is, and still be in sync and still have it work. But it just doesn't work when you have nothing to offer but the steps. I have the steps. I'm choreographing them. So I already have that part. What are you bringing to the table outside of that? And that literally comes from you living a life and really knowing who you are when it's time to hit that 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yes. And I'm definitely glad that you said that, because that is something else that I stand on as far as like when dance is concerned. I like to do other stuff. I travel a lot. My friends always say, you always somewhere else. You always say, yes, I am, because I don't want to be consumed with dance. I'm going to dance because I love it, as you said, but I'm also going to be outside. So definitely.
As you should be. Please. Yes.
But I definitely want to thank you for coming through today. Can you tell everybody where they can find you on social media platforms?
Yes, you can find me at Ryan, no wait, lies, it's underscore Ryan, F-L-O underscore. I don't know if it's, we can just put it somewhere.
I mean, yep, it's going to be.
We're just, if I make a thing, you can like.
Yeah. Right?
So yeah, so you can find me there, underscore Ryan Flow underscore on Instagram and everywhere else. I'll be around. I'll be outside.
Period. Outside. We love that for you. All right. Well, that concludes this episode of N5678 the podcast. It's your boy Vibes by Bray. Please be sure to follow me on all social media platforms at Vibes by Bray and stay up to date on all of our latest episodes at N5678 podcast. Here's your daily reminder to always dance like nobody's watching and love like it's never gonna hurt. And I can't forget to shout out Kataco Streetwear, Felicity Digital Lab, and Rager Worldwide LLC. Until next time.